Welcome. It's just about the end of September. My, how these weeks are going by. The summer is fast fading, but that's okay because we're looking forward to another year of exciting things. And we're not looking at the past. We're going to move forward. Amen. This morning, I'd like us to open up our Bibles to Little John, 1 John, chapter 3, and I want to read verses 1 and 2 again. 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, last week, we spent some time also in the book of John, and I do believe we did read these verses last week as well, but I want to bring out something a little bit different this morning. But I still want to go through and kind of tie it in with what we studied last week. So in verse 1 it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knows him not." Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God," or the children of God. Women, don't get all bent out of shape here. "Now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he will appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." Now last week, we looked at the story of the prodigal son, and we saw from this parable that Jesus shared the manner of the Father's love for us. How many of you recall what I spoke about the prodigal son and how the father received him and killed the fatted calf and, I mean, waved his excuses or his apology aside and just showered upon him love and every good thing, right? Not just forgiveness, but he blessed him exceedingly abundantly above anything this young man could have even asked or thought for. In his mind, when he went home, he was hoping to get a position as a servant so that he at least didn't have to starve to death. That was what he was hoping for. And even in our own lives, sometimes when we come to God, that's how our mindset is. Oh, God, just give me enough to get by. And God wants to just lavish upon you all the excess and all the things that you couldn't even imagine or even ask for. That's the manner of the love our Father has for us. And so we looked in depth at that love last week. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and I believe we looked at this verse as well, we saw in verse 8 of Romans chapter 5, it says that God commendeth his love toward us, or the word commendeth means God has demonstrated or showed us, or exhibited, I always have trouble with that word, showed forth, demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we explained that more in depth from last week. So Christ died for the ungodly. Sometimes we don't realize, but our mindset is Christ died for the godly. You know, we look at people who are good people and we think of Christ, we think of them being saved. But when we look at the ungodly, we a lot of times think, oh, you know, they're hopeless. But no, Christ died for the ungodly, not the godly. And you know what? All of us were ungodly. That leaves none of us out, because all of us were ungodly. All of mankind deserved the suffering that Jesus took on our behalf, all of us. But by the grace of God, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, Jesus tasted death for every man, for all the ungodly. Now I want us to drop down to verse 10 in Romans chapter 5. And in verse 10 it says, "Now if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." Now, don't get caught up on that word enemies, when we were enemies. The word enemies means to be in opposition to God or be hostile towards God, or, you know, because there was a time in our lives before we came to Jesus and understood the love of God, that, you know, in effect, we were hostile towards God. We were in opposition towards God. And we may not have realized it at the time, but we were. But if when we were in that state, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son Jesus, much more now being reconciled, meaning being brought back to God, we shall be saved by his what? His life. Oh, that we could comprehend the gift God has given us through Christ. Those of us who do not see the need for a Savior, just simply do not understand the seriousness of sin. They absolutely do not understand it. For by one man's sin, just think about it, one man sinned. All of us entered into death. The whole of creation fell by one sin. Everything changed. By that one man's sin, every one of us in this room and everybody that was ever born on this earth was made a sinner, or was born into sin. I guess that's the best way to say it. And by this one man's sin came death. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, death passed upon all man. Why? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us born in this world were born into the sin of Adam, into death. And not only we, but all of creation was born into death. And we are under, this world is still groaning and moaning under this curse that we call death. Everything in the natural world is passing away. Everything. That's the curse. Everything is passing away. And sometimes we, especially as you get older, you don't realize this as much when you're young because you're full of life, and to you, life is forever. But as you get older, you begin to see more clearly this truth. As you see your friends passing away, as you see just things that you were familiar with when you were younger passing away, and somehow it leaves a sadness on the inside of us. It's like, wow, whatever happened to that? Nothing lasts forever. And that's why I tell my kids so much to hang on to their moments. Hang on to the moments they have with their children growing up, because all things pass away. So everything in the natural is passing away. God never created it that way. But when Adam sinned, the sin, the curse that was placed upon the earth, that came upon the earth through his sin, was death. And this it's a curse that's on the earth, and everything is passing away. And the more and the older and the longer that you stay on this earth, the more you're going to understand this. Nothing stays the same. Everything is only temporary. And the Bible tells us that all of creation is in bondage to this corruption. In other words, everything's passing away. Everything, it's like there's a seed of corruption in everything, and it starts to break down and deteriorate over time. And the Bible tells us that even creation is in bondage under this corruption. Even man is passing away. The physical body over time begins to break down. It becomes old. What a curse. When God looks down at his creation, and we have no idea. I've often tried to imagine in my mind what Adam and Eve looked like. They must have been absolutely perfect in every way. And now when God looks down at his creation and he sees us, our bodies decaying and growing old, and that is not the way God designed it to be. He made us to live, to have life and be alive forever. So our bodies break down over time, eventually, just like everything else around us. But man, because he is a spirit being, his spirit never just ceases to be. He was made in the image and in the likeness of God. But when the body breaks down, the spirit that's on the inside of us, the spirit that never passes away, not like the things of the earth pass away, not like this body passes away, from dust you were made, to dust you're going to return. Your spirit doesn't return to dust because it's made of spirit. And so once your body deteriorates and passes away, there has to be a place to house your spirit. Now, I know that we know all this morning. I'm speaking to those of us who are in Christ, who understand salvation. But I need to bring this all out in order to show us something this morning that we should know, but sometimes we need to be reminded. So the spirit of man, even though everything's passing away, including your body, needs to be housed once the body shuts down. Where will we be housed? All I can say for sure is God is the God of the living, not the dead. God is the God of the living, not the dead. So my point is this. The curse of death is holding in bondage all of creation, including you and I. Everything in the natural is continually passing away. If you can see it, it's temporal. It's passing away. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4:18. To those of us who doubt whether everything's passing away. Second Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. If you can see it, it's not forever. It's passing away. If you can't see it, that's eternal. Now, of course, we don't live life that way, nor do we perceive things that way. To us, our reality is what we see, right? And it's really hard, but we got to be reminded that that's not reality. That's passing away. It's a shadow, just like your life is passing away. So if you can see it, it's passing away. And you know what? There goes Darwin's theory of evolution, if you ever doubt it. Because his theory is based on evolving. Okay? So that means that each time it gets better, a higher degree. Well, that is totally contrary to the curse that is on the earth. Everything is passing away. It's not getting better. You know, we're not going from one level to another. We're going down. And so Darwin's theory of evolution or creation is all wrong, and it is totally opposite of the truth. Everything is passing away. So God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Why? Because everything was under this curse that we call death, passing away. Jesus came to take our place in this death, in this curse, and set us free from this curse. Now, John chapter 1, I want us to open up our Bibles this morning in John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. That was the bad news. Now let's hear the good news. John chapter 1, verses 3. All things, of course, we know 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Verse 3. All things were made by him. By who? Jesus, who's the Word. And without him was not anything made. In him was, what's the word? In him was life. In him is, not was, not used to be. In him is life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Nothing was made without him. In him is life. Remember, Jesus said, I am life. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, that word comprehendeth, I used to think it meant, or it, actually I was taught, and I when I read this scripture, I only saw it in one light. It meant that to me it was like, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, meaning that the darkness can never put the light out. Now, that's true. And I still believe that with all of my heart, because even in the natural, the darkness cannot overcome or override light, can it? I don't care how dark the building is. If you put a light in there, that light, wherever that light is, the darkness flees. Okay, the darkness doesn't come and snuff out the light. No, the light will always be seen over the darkness. So yes, it definitely means that. But it also means that the light will shine in the darkness, but the darkness cannot perceive it. Okay, so it's actually referring to Jesus coming to the world as the light of the world, but the world not seeing the light, not perceiving it. It also means that. But as many, verse 12 in John chapter 1, but as many as did come to him and receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they may have it in abundance. Now I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. So without him was nothing made that was made. In him is life. Through the sin of Adam, everything plunged into the bondage of death. There was no life. There's people today in the world that think they're alive. You know what? They're dead and they don't know it. That's a terrible thing to say, but I don't know how else to get us to see it. The whole world is under this bondage of corruption. And we are powerless to stop it. It has been going on since Adam, and it's going to continue until Jesus Christ returns and takes back. I mean, the earth is his and the fullness thereof, but right now it is under the power of the enemy. But that lease is going to be running out, and I believe it's going to be very soon. The earth is groaning under this bondage. You know, we're going to talk about saving the planet later, but honestly, man's efforts to save the planet, it would be like us. It's the same thing as us trying to come up with something that will deliver us from dying. And I mean, man has been trying to prolong life. I mean, everything is about a longer life. Or maybe no death at all. We've been trying to solve this mystery. But we know that man is absolutely powerless to change anything. Jesus said, I am life. We're all under death. Oh, how we need this life. How we need this life. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it in abundance. Jesus came to give us life, eternal life. We get so hung up on the word eternal. We think the word eternal means only for the next life. But that's not what that means. Eternal means it is no longer a temporary passing away thing. Eternal means forever. I am come that you might have eternal life. That means that you might have life and it will be forever. And does it go in the next life? Yeah, because that's forever. But eternal life doesn't necessarily mean that it's for the future. No, no, no. Eternal life just means that the life that you have is forever now. It is the opposite. The word eternal is the opposite of the word temporary. Temporary means it's passing away. Eternal means forever. Forever the same. Eternal life never passes away. It only increases. It gets better and better. The Bible says it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. He was life. In him was life. And he was the light of men. And the Bible says it will get brighter and brighter. What does that mean? The life. It's brighter and brighter. Bigger and bigger. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Adam sinned. And by that one man's sin, death entered in, and or sin entered, and death by sin. The Bible tells us in 6:23 of Romans, the wages of sin is death, and that's exactly what happened. God said to Adam, "In the day that you eat, you in dying you will die." Like he didn't fall over dead, but corruption, death entered into the world, and it spread. Just imagine, close your eyes, use your imagination, like a mist, like a fog over the whole entire universe. This corruption began to work within everything on the planet. But, 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Jesus is the only life. The life that dispels all darkness. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life. Life forever. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. It's really quite simple. He came to give life to a world that was in death, in darkness. He is the only, that's why he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. I'm not one way. I am the way, the truth, the life. This world that you live in that is under darkness, I made it. It belongs to me. There is no one else or nothing else that can bring life except Jesus Christ. He is life. If you have him, you have life. You have the life in you. Jesus is light. Apart from him, there is only temporal life. If you are a child of God, you have this life eternal. And everything around you is passing away. The whole world is lying in this bondage of the law of sin and death. But you are not. You are not in bondage to this law anymore. We just saw that the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? Freedom from what? Freedom from death. Freedom from this curse. Why? Because in him is life. And you are in him and he is in you. And his life is in you. I'm trying to paint a picture for us this morning. I'm trying to get you to see what you have that you don't even know you have, which is life in a very dark world. Yeah, you might say, I know the Spirit of God is in me. I know the life of Jesus is in me. But my body's passing away. I'm still living in a dead body. Yes, your body is dead, the Bible tells us, because of sin. But Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Because the life that you have, the life that is of God, eternal life, is in you. It's your spirit. And you might say, well, what about the rest of me? Well, you know what? Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, your spirit is life because of the righteousness that's been imparted unto you. Okay, first of all, let's talk about that. Your spirit is now life because of righteousness is what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God has made Jesus to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus Christ took the sin of all mankind, sin that brought death into the world in the first place. And he paid it off in full, all sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And it says now, your spirit is life because of the righteousness that's been imparted into your heart. Now let's go back to verse 11 of Romans chapter 8 from, if you've gone to 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says that he became our sin that we might become his righteousness. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, why did Jesus die? He was taking your place. If that spirit dwells in you, now what spirit is that? The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the spirit of life, raised Jesus from the dead. He that raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken. What does the word quicken mean? Bring alive. Okay, so you've got the life on the inside of you, God's life. And by that life, spirit of life, your mortal body, it says, will also quicken your mortal body. People think that scripture means that someday we're going to get the Holy Spirit's going to quicken us, quicken this flesh, and we're going to get a glorified brand new body. No, that body is corrupted. That body is going to go, it's going to be dissolved. You're going to get a brand new body. But this is talking about your mortal body, which is your flesh body. It says that the spirit of life in you will quicken your mortal body. Flesh by the spirit that dwells in you. So the life in you quickens your body, brings to life, brings back to life. Is your life or is your flesh body in this world still under the law of sin and death? Yes. But the law of the spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death. Remember, we used that analogy before about the law of lift and thrust supersedes the law of gravity. I mean, that's why we can fly in airplanes. And so that life in you supersedes the law of sin and death, which is this corruption, this passing away that is happening. You need to understand that. And if you want to know where the scripture is, Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, because it supersedes it. Life always supersedes death. Where there's life, death has to flee. Where there's light, darkness has to flee. Do you understand that? The life that you have on the inside of you, one Christian, One person with the spirit of life inside is more powerful than all the death in this whole universe. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I heard an amen from the congregation over there. This last week, my oldest son was home with us for the week, and we got to talking about health and wellness. And he said to me, "You know, Mom, what I've found is the most important thing for our well-being and our and good health is to eat plenty of green vegetables, to make sure that, you know, we just continually are eating a lot of green vegetables." Now, I'm all for green vegetables. I love green vegetables. I asked Cameron, I eat very little meat. I really enjoy vegetables, and I think that the majority of my kids do as well. But I did say to him, "You know, son, don't you know that all things are passing away?" In other words, everything is under the curse of death, including green vegetables. There's no real life in them. Everything is just temporary. Everything is dead. So how can one cure diseases with diet or vegetables? Because all sickness, I said to him, all diseases are only a stage of death. And it's all a stage of the curse of death that came upon the earth when Adam sinned. So all sickness and disease is just a stage of death in the natural. And dead food is not going to change that. Dead and dead does not equal life. It equals dead. Right? You understand what I'm trying to say here this morning? Now, like I say, I'm not against eating well, and because temporarily it gives you a little energy and it might boost your, you know, your vitality temporarily. But at the end of the day, I don't want you running after that and putting your faith in that, because really everything's passing away. Touch not, handle not, taste not all that are to perish with the using. Then I said to Clint, "No, son, the most important thing is that we eat food that is living, food that is alive, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the communion, the tree of life." Now, I want us to go back and I want us to read again where we started this morning. I want us to turn back to Romans chapter 5. I said all of that to bring us to this one scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. "So the life is in you." You don't know how alive you really are. Romans 5, chapter 5, pardon me, verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, brought back to God by the death of Jesus, his son, much more being now brought back, being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life." What does that mean? Much more. We will be saved by his life. Much more we shall be sozoed by his life. What is the word sozo? Because that's the word they use in the Greek. And this is the New Covenant, so it was written in Greek. The word saved is sozo, and it means to be safe, to deliver, to be protected, to be healed, to be preserved, to do well, and to make whole. Much more will we be delivered, protected, healed, preserved, made well and whole by his life, which is in us. So eternal life isn't something that God gave us for the next stage once we leave this body. No, eternal life starts right now, right here, today. You have that life. Much more. If his death reconciled you and brought you back to God, his life, how does his life do it? It's in you. It's living in you. It's living in you. The life that dispels all death. And the devil does not want you to find out about this. Because it's by faith that we use this life, that we walk in this life, experience it. And you know, this life, his life that's in us, it doesn't get any better than that. We have this idea that someday, oh, we're just going to have this life pulsing. You know what? You've already got that life. And by faith, it will pulse through you, bringing wholeness, health, quickening your body, reaching out, flowing out, and touching other people. Just like it did in the life of Peter. We look back to the early church. And Peter, it tells us that even his shadow, people were in his shadow, they got healed. Why? Because that life was pouring out of him. He knew, such as I have, he said to that man that was lame since birth at the gate when they went up to the temple. He said, such as I have, I give unto you. What do you think it was that Peter had? Life. Life. But we focus on the temporary so much that we forget to focus on the things that are unseen, which is the life that's in us. God wants us to let this life flow. You need to recognize that it's there. You need to believe it's there. And then by faith, you need to allow it to flow out of you through your words. Let it flow out. It will always dispel darkness. It'll always bring life where there's death. It's got nothing to do with you. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. It is the Spirit of life. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. It is the Spirit, it is the resurrection life of Jesus that is on the inside of you. And some people think that life somehow has diminished over time. Actually, one of the footnotes that I read in my Bible was that God doesn't need to demonstrate this type of thing in this day and age, because by now the church doesn't need to see the power and the life of God the way it did in the beginning. And I'm thinking, who are you kidding? We need to see it more than they saw it in the beginning. Like, really? It doesn't, that God doesn't allow, or he doesn't use miracles and signs anymore. No, that is so ridiculous. It's like we're saying that God has shut that life off now on the inside of us because we don't need to see it. The life is yours. I give you eternal life. It is yours. It doesn't shine when God decides to let it shine. It shines when you decide to let it shine. It is forever. You are one Spirit in the Lord. And this Holy Spirit, this Spirit of life is in you, bringing life. It's there for a reason. Jesus said, the life of the Father is in me. It is by his life that I do these things. John chapter 6. Let's turn there this morning. John chapter 6, verses 56, 57, and 58. John chapter 6, verses 56 to 58. Jesus says this: he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by what? The Father. Remember, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. In other words, I live by his life now. That's my new life. I am dead with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I was crucified in Christ. You've got to see yourself with this new life on the inside. And it says here, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, even so he that eats me, even he will live by me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread will live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Jesus is referring here to, I believe, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Communion table. He who eats of me shall live and never die. Eating and partaking of the Holy Communion is, I believe, a medicine God, Jesus instituted. It's called the Last Supper. And I believe that the more you partake of it in faith, it's like taking vitamins. There's all your green veggies. You're partaking of the tree of life. And we have been given that opportunity to live this life. He's given it to us, to trust in it, to allow it to flow through us, not only to bring health and healing to our own bodies and wholeness, but healing to the world. Jesus said, as you sent me, he said to the Father, so I send them. I've given them my life to use, to bring light into a dark world, to bring life to death where there's death. So I want to encourage us this morning to let that life flow, to let the light shine. And let us, especially in this day and in this hour, let the Church of Jesus Christ flow in this life. Let us focus on saving the people, not the planet. That is a futile undertaking. And man thinks that he is going to do. The world is under a curse. Everything is cursed. And man, by his efforts, can never change that. It is only Christ himself. Jesus is the life, and you have it. Even though everything around you is dying and is dark, you've got to see yourself as having that life wherever you go. I think sometimes we're afraid to step into that. It's safe to stay in the natural. It's safe to live in the natural world. But God is calling us. Step into this life. It's in you. Let's not let it be in vain. Because nothing else brings life except Jesus. There is no other help but him. And so as he was called by the Father to bring life, Jesus is now also calling us. Let that life shine. Let that life flow. That eternal life. And so this morning, as we partake of the Holy Communion, we're going to just know, and by faith, we are partaking of the life. We already have the life, but it's our faith in Jesus. And by partaking of the communion, I believe, is the key to divine health. It's Jesus, the life in us. It's celebrating what Jesus did and releasing our faith in the cross and in the fact that he died our death, took all our diseases that we might be healed. Amen.